Morning, everybody. Can you all hear me okay? Brilliant. So I'm Lee Stott, I'm from Microsoft, I'm a technical evangelist. Number one, there is Wi-Fi in the room, so if anyone wants to make a note of the SSID, the username and the password, so that's free Wi-Fi, you can get onto VPNs, etc. if you need to get onto VPN. So my role within Microsoft is really helping anybody build games for Windows, so basically Windows Phone, Windows 8, cloud services and Xbox One. We're here today to talk about cloud gaming. I've had a few conversations already this morning about where Microsoft is and where our cloud gaming strategies are. And the whole purpose today is really to outline to you where we are with cloud gaming, what our thoughts are around cloud gaming as a subject and topic area, and then to really highlight what some of our partners, so from indies all the way up to AAA studios, are doing with cloud services. So I think one of the big things we want to dispel is this misnomer of what cloud gaming is. If you speak to a lot of people, everyone will have a different concept of what cloud gaming is today. And our concept is it's not streaming of content. It's not things like Gaikai, it's not things like live on live. It's really about how you as a developer engage with a new audience base and retain those consumers and really start to add value to your gaming infrastructure. So in terms of agenda today, it's quite an intensive agenda. We've got lots of speakers. And we're going to go through, so first of all, a welcome. And then James Nailsworth from Illarad will talk about how they're engaging with consumers in their games in CRM terms. We'll then have a break for coffee and teas. And then Cal Pitre from Captain will talk about how to engage users with new CRM systems. So he'll be talking about his new product, which will really help enhance that gaming experience. We'll then break for lunch, and Chris Sterling, who's an indie from Worldbog, will talk about how he's actually used cloud services within his game and what that actually costs. You know, that's the most important thing to you as developers is, if you're going to implement cloud services, what is the cost of cloud services? And then we'll break with Richard Conway from ElastiCloud, who'll talk about machine learning and data science. So again, one of the key aspects is about how to get user data, how to retain users, how to understand when a player plays your game, when a player stops playing your game. We'll then talk about async gaming with Lewis Dean. And Lewis will talk about his project called Nomad, which allows you to have async gaming between different platform types. We'll then have the afternoon break, and then we'll talk more about the infrastructure side. So James Mintram will talk about Docker and how to use Docker and containerization in your apps. And then Sam from Mediatonic will talk about how Mediatonic are using cloud services within their games and their infrastructure. And then we'll finish with Microsoft Research talking about the whole dynamics of cloud services and what they're currently doing in terms of player matching, player ranking, and new services that will be coming online. And then we'll finish with a short conclusion of the day, a quick review of what's been discussed, what's been talked about. And again, we'll open that up for questions. We might even have a panel session at the end. So if we think about cloud today, the key things that we want to consider is more about, you know, where the enterprise is. If you think of where the big corporates have been and what they've achieved with cloud services, I think we're going to see the same sort of thing happening with games. So, and a good example is BA. We all know who BA is. It's a well-known brand. But the key thing is how they've changed their business. And they've looked at these key different aspects. It's the focus. You know, what is their business about? Their business is about us getting on a plane and flying to a destination, having, you know, a nice flight and being on time. If you think this from a gaming perspective, your focus is about providing that gaming experience to an end user who will hopefully monetize. That's what it comes down to, is actually monetization of that customer, retention of that customer, and ideally more customers using that service. And again, you know, BA have gone through massive business changes, a huge change in their business model. You know, people want more value-added services on that flight. Again, consumers want more value-added services. If you think of the free-to-play market today, more interest is about how to actually retain those users, how to engage those users, how to, you know, use those users to actually populate your other services. And scale is really important to all of us. You know, you are all either small companies or large companies, but scale is what is actually eating up your OPEX and your revenue costs. So if you've got instant scale with cloud service, that allows you to grow, it allows you to scale the number of users, and you can start predicting what those costs and user ratios are. And then there's a whole democratization of services. So it doesn't matter if you're one man indie to a 100-man studio, you get access to the same services and the same ability to undertake those functions. The cloud is all about embracing uncertainty, though, because we're in a consistently changing environment. At Microsoft, we change Azure services about every 3 months. So we're launching new services and new opportunities. And if you think about these from a game perspective, it's really about, you know, providing elasticity, the ability to scale up and scale down, bringing services online when you have a launch or when you've got a new announcement being made. It's about consumption. It's about that pay-as-you-go model. It's not spending thousands of pounds in data centers or having infrastructure in your buildings. And again, that gives you some cost of uncertainty. You know, when are you going to launch? How successful will your game be? How many users will you get? How are you going to engage those users? And cloud really is about that risk mitigation. You know, how can you avoid having that uncertainty of costs? And against the opportunity of new business models. And we'll talk about today lots of different new business models and how people are using those. If I was here a year ago, we'd be saying, you know, Microsoft, you're a bit of an elephant in the room. You know, why is this important to you? And things have really changed at Microsoft. You know, now we're an open service. So if you use Microsoft Azure, you can use any technology you wish, whether you're writing in PHP, Node, JS, HTML5, .NET. We allow you to run anything from Windows to Linux to any other infrastructure. So again, it's about choice. It's about freedom of opportunity. It's about taking your existing services and moving them to the cloud. Again, you know, cloud really is about democratization. It's about those economies of scale. And, you know, the easiest way I can actually explain this, it's as simple as this. You know, it could be three people with a crazy idea and now the opportunity of thousands of customers. There's not a huge infrastructure cost required. Again, it's about building on new focus and value chains. So if you think about where we are today and where your companies are going, how are you going to ensure that you have that reliability and resistance to move forward without that massive CapEx investment? And again, cloud is all about innovation and creativity. What's really important is having that nuance into your game. You know, Clash of the Clans is a great example, which is still retaining users and growing users. You know, it's a massive income for Supercell. But if you think about it from a gaming perspective, it's a very simple concept. But the cloud services give them the agility and scale. So as I said when I started off, there's lots of models about traditional cloud gaming. And I think, you know, this is where my thoughts are around a traditional cloud gaming model. It's about multiplayer. So as many players as you want from any territory, any geography. It's about a multi-game. So it's about having the same game across all devices. We now live in a world of consumerization. You know, I have no control of what device you buy. You have no choice of devices. You know, you only buy devices for two reasons. Is it shiny and is it the right price point? And again, we want content across our devices. We want to be moving from an iPad to a Windows device to a console device and back to the iPad device. Again, if anybody's got children in the room, I think everybody will understand that. You know, you'll see the transient nature of those players. And again, what's really important to them is having that same experience across all the devices. Nobody wants to play 50 levels on one device and then have to start from level one on another device. It's about, you know, cross-platform. Cross-platform is that key aspect to that new user's, you know, desire and requirement. You know, if they don't have that in their games, they don't want to play it. And again, it's about supporting all devices and ensuring that you launch on day one across a whole platform of devices and not just going on one device. So the easiest way I can explain this is devices and cloud is like hand and deck. You know, they should always be seen together. It's a bit of a cheesy joke, but if you think about it, it's really true. Oscar's laughing there. But, you know, it's really important to how we actually do it. And this is my concept of where we are in terms of cloud gaming. It's about any game, anywhere, any device, and instantly. And that's instantly from a consumer perspective and instantly from your perspective, being able to deploy updates, patches, improvements to the game. So digital distribution is going to be key. It's really key now across all our services. And if you think of that from a consumer perspective, how many people now have consoles where it's just digital-only downloads? And some consumers prefer that because they can install those downloads across multiple devices at multiple different locations. And again, it's about playing games across all platforms. Nobody really needs to consider the hardware. They consider the game. I want to play this game. I'll play it on this device, and this device, and have the same experience, the same levels, the game, same game state, and the same game sync. So, you know, the cloud is really about this. It's about, you know, you don't know the power. And this is what's going to be important to all game developers now, is about understanding where these services and opportunities are. And hopefully, after the end of today, you'll understand how some of these companies have put these solutions together. So let's take some examples. We all know about Halo. So if you actually look at the infrastructure behind Halo, this was all running on Windows Azure. We've got 40 cloud services. We've got persistence and tracking, so we know who the users are, where they're using it from, how they're using the game. We've got the statistics of that user, so the gameplay statistics. What is their Spartan? What rank are they? What achievements do they have? How have they customized it? We've got the UGC, so that's about how you know the content contribution. So if you think anybody got the new Halo? So if you actually have the new copy of Halo, there's lots more content in there apart from the game. There's the whole TV narrative. So there's Nightfall. There's a whole content online in terms of forums, user communities, websites. And again, it's about bringing that experience into something more than just pure, simple gameplay. And again, it's about providing all that data together so it's aggregated. So from a user standpoint, I log into a single service and then can choose the content I want across the devices I want. And they built all this in less than 1 year. These are some of the Azure services they actually have working on the product. So they've got worker roles, web roles, VM roles, databases and tables and storage, the service bus that controls the infrastructure, the content distribution services, and the content delivery network. So that, again, from a user perspective, they can get access to the nearest data centers to their geography. So again, latency is very low. And then behind all that is the big data and the machine learning perspectives of Hadoop. So they can actually then analyze what the user's doing, how they're playing the game. And this is pretty extensive for a year infrastructure. This was all built within a year. The actual OPEX of running this, you know, it's a hosted service. You don't have to buy a data center. You don't have to buy all those servers. Again, a new title this year is Titanfall. So Titanfall by Respawn Entertainment is completely cloud-driven AI, and the whole NPCs are all cloud-driven. So again, when you're actually playing the game, everything in that game is being cloud-powered. From the game state matching to the gameplay to the actual AI within the game. And this is pretty interesting. You know, it's a AAA studio, and you're all probably thinking, you know, well, I couldn't afford to do something like this. But if you look at what EA actually spun up, so EA had 100,000 virtual machines for Titanfall. EA probably couldn't afford 100,000 machines in a data center, but they could afford an Azure service that is completely scalable. So they went from 100,000 to where they are today. And that is the whole power of cloud. It's about providing the services that you want, when you want them, and how you want them. So the new opportunities are really interesting if you think about how we currently play games and use games. So the ability to stream GPU. So this is an example with the latest crackdown of cloud offloading. So this is local physics versus server-based physics. And again, this is really changing the way developers are building games and adding content. And the key things I want to point out is the actual chunk size. So if you can see, on the server-side physics, it's 10,000 more chunks. And most importantly, from a frame rate perspective, the local physics engines run at 4 frames per second for 26,000 chunks. The cloud-based servers are 34,000 and running at 32 frames per second. So from a user experience, the game is far better. It doesn't feel laggy, it doesn't feel, you know, doesn't feel jerky, it doesn't look jerky. And most importantly from that is encouraging more users to play your game. So if you look at where we are today in the transition from cloud services, it's all about evolving and changing that multiplayer experience and the gameplay experience. And these are the real big questions we have today. So Oscar's done a great book on this, so a little plug for you, Oscar. You know, it's about free to play. It's how do we make money out of games? Because that's the most important thing to you, is being sustainable as a business. It's about what those business models are and how you can enhance with digital distribution. It's about discoverability. Biggest issue we face today is discoverability of content. How do you get your game seen? How do you get your game noticed? How do you create that differentiation that gets either the press involved or a vendor involved or media involved to then talk about your game, which then gives you greater exposure? And this is a great opportunity of cloud. Again, it's about thinking about how you run services. So today we have a typical model of an ISV, so an independent software vendor. So there's thousands of them out there. This is really from an enterprise perspective, and they've gone to like being a software as a service vendor. So anybody uses Sage Payroll, Sage is a great example of an ISV. But if you think about this from a gaming perspective, aren't games companies actually doing this? You know, if you think of a studio today, studios are now moving to games as a service rather than just a pure studio. So I just showed you EA and Respawn there. They're no longer just building a game. They're building this infrastructure and the service piece and the consumer environment and the online forums and the leaderboards and the global matchmaking and the social. So they're actually changing their entire business model to this new paradigm. Again, you know, games as a service is a real difference in delivery models. It's a new concept. It's how you need to start to rethink your business. So, you know, we all produce games. So it's the game production that has to stay. But more importantly, it's this continual iteration. You put something out there. I call it the continual beta of games. People say to me, my game's not finished. You know, it's not out there. And I say, well, most games aren't finished. It's that continual iteration of putting a game out there, see what people think about it, understanding the telemetry, understanding the analytics, refining and modifying. It's that whole optimization. It's, again, being changing your business culture to be 24/7. So if you think about it now, you have players across the world, but how do you engage with those players? Are you providing content local to those players? And it's evolving that engagement. It's ensuring that you're engaged with those consumers, so they are making that DLC purchase, they are doing that in-app purchase, they are downloading your next title. So it's really about, you know, games as a service I see as an engagement model, and I'm hoping some of the sessions today you'll understand where those engagement possibilities are. And if you look at where, you know, the core concepts of engagement, you've got player engagement. So how do you engage with those consumers? You've got the game lifecycle. So a big question I always get today is, I've got a game, I would like to use a cloud service, but when do I know how, when should I turn it off? And that's really simple. If you start looking at the telemetry and the analytics, you know when to turn it off or when to start to transition users. It's again about how you reward those users. How do you create loyalty? How do you reward them? Do you reward them for virally sharing your content or using your games? Do you start accumulating users? You know, so you can start transitioning them either to partners or to new game content or to actually grow the community that you currently have. And that's really about retaining users. You know, once you've got all these in place, you can start retaining users. You can start rewarding them. You can start building that social virality so people start commenting on forums and on social. And again, hopefully all this will help grow users, which will increase your revenues. So the core thing is that, you know, games as a service is a new set of business models. And this is a comment by Gartner, and they're saying that subscriptions will overtake licenses and maintenance in 2019. And some of the games today that people will talk about, you'll understand some of those new concepts and new opportunities. And there'll be a shift from package to digital. I think we can all understand that and we all agree with it. You know, mobile has really created that area of digital distribution. And again, you know, business models will be disrupted. I think everybody knows that's happening today. And there's new revenue models. You know, merchandising of games. 3 years ago, Rovio, Angry Birds. How many people have children with Angry Birds merchandise? Merchandising is a great opportunity. Again, 3D printing is now available. 3D online merchandising is available. I know games companies who are producing 3D characters of their games and outsourcing that to another company, and they're taking 3% revenue share. But it's a new opportunity to that consumer market. The next real big thing is data science. You know, so you've got all these, this is probably a role that you've never really considered within your gaming company, and data science is definitely new rock and roll. And, you know, what this is really about is analytics. Understanding that telemetry. We've all used Flurry in the past. We all understand, you know, how users are being retained and lost. But how are we actually using it for player engagement, player progress? Are we rewarding users? How is it impacting the monetization strategies of the game? Do we look at, you know, people who play for 3, 4 hours, 24 hours a day? Do we then reward them based on their activity and usage? And again, it's about real-time insights. When do I stop? When do I start? When do I change? And one of the big issues lots of us face is this whole issue of creativity and analytics. And, you know, if you go and speak to most games companies, I think there's this huge barrier between those two things. You've got your data science people or your infrastructure people versus your creative game designers. And they're saying, oh, we don't really want to do this. You know, it's not the right idea. It doesn't really work. But once you have that ground of data, you can then actually say, yes, this is important. We need to do this because this is what our user community want. This is what our users want. So this is what I'm hoping, you know, from the rest of today, you'll understand that there's this great need to start considering both users as users and understanding they are a consumer of your product and you need to engage with them against the creativity of just building a good-looking game. I hear so many game developers who say, I'm building this game for me. I'm building this game because I think it's really cool, but they've never ever asked anybody. So, you know, from today, I'm hoping to say, you know, Microsoft is simply a world of multi-platform, multi-game. Multiplayer, multi-devices, and it's about the development of really great games and great content across all devices. So you're not going to hear anything about Microsoft, you're not going to hear anything about Windows today. It's about understanding that games are for all devices, for all users. I'll talk more about the game dev offer that was announced in the press at the end of today, but from the rest of the day, really, it's about you understanding how other people are using services, how they're engaging with their users and communities, and what they're doing to actually change the new mindset of cloud gaming. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of today. So, James.